So as we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, we start off on a positive note and give kudos to a reporter who did a good job this week. So Maya, let's start off with you. What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, actually, in regards to Obama's visit to prison and his commutations, I got a great surprise from MSNBC, which usually I write off a little bit, but I thought that Melissa Harris Perry's discussion around Obama's proposed reforms and the reforms being considered in Congress was really exemplary, because the conversation touched on this issue of dividing up nonviolent and violent offenders. And simultaneously, I think truth out, where I work, of course, I'm a little biased in favor of it. But we've been covering this issue for a very long time. And today we published a piece by Dan Berger, who's a scholar who looks at political imprisonment. And he talks about some of the roots of this crisis in political imprisonment and how the repression of social movements has actually fueled mass incarceration.
And we'll talk more about this when we discuss this in detail, because President Obama specifically was focusing on nonviolent and drug-related crimes, saying that harsh prison sentences, particularly for nonviolent drug crimes, are to blame for doubling the prison population in the past two decades. And so we'll talk about how his focus on nonviolent crime really shapes views about who ends up in prison, why they're mostly people of color. So kudos to MSNBC's Melissa Harris Perry and then Dan Berger, who is writing over at Truthout. And that is Maya Shenwar. She's editor-in-chief of Truthout and author of Locked Down, Locked Out. And thank you for those. And Eric, what about you? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, I'm actually going to, if I can, just talk about two pieces very briefly. The first one is from my colleague, Sal Rodriguez. He's our guy in San Francisco. He writes a lot about tech. He focuses on the Silicon Valley community. He has a piece out today that I think is really worth reading. I think Silicon Valley gets a lot of press and attention. It seems like an exciting place to be, to work. You know, companies like Facebook and Twitter are there. I think we also know that Silicon Valley has a big diversity problem. If you look at the stats and you look at the numbers, it's an overwhelming majority of, white men. It's hard for women and people of minorities to break into this industry. Sal does a good job talking about some of these issues in a new piece. It's actually about tech coding schools that are, he titles it, Independent Tech Coding Schools Are Helping Silicon Valley with Its Race Problem. Really interesting piece. The other one, that's sort of more in line with our discussion today that I think is worth mentioning is a piece from The Atlantic about bounty hunting reform. Bounty hunting is something that I think most people just kind of understand as the Hollywood version of it. Maybe you've seen Dog the Bounty Hunter or maybe a movie about it, but it's actually a massive private industry. And, the one thing that I think people don't really know about is that this is an industry that's incredibly lucrative and also really unregulated. And the one sentence that I want to just read here from the piece, which I think is very interesting, is that bounty hunters are considered private contractors, but they are authorized to use deadly force when making an arrest. So, here's an example of a private company that's basically given the law extends to them the opportunity to make money from this this industry of going out and getting people who have skipped their bond, and they're basically allowed to act however they want when it comes to making that arrest. And if they need to use force and if they need to use deadly force, then the law kind of looks at it as, well, they did what they had to do. Mm-hmm. So that was in The Atlantic. That was by Katie Bo Williams, and also definitely worth reading.
And I was just checking this piece out, and she writes that, as you said, bounty hunters grab attention when somebody gets shot, but in many states, they're an active part of the criminal justice system.
Right, and so the cops really end up working hand in hand, and the whole, not just the cops really, but it's the prosecutor's office, the judge, the entire criminal justice system, and they aren't subject to the same sort of oversight that police officers are.
Mm-hmm. All right, so kudos to Katie Bo Williams at The Atlantic. The piece is, Does the Bounty Hunting Industry Need Reform? And Sal Rodriguez at the International Business Times, writing about the lack of diversity in Silicon Valley and how these tech coding schools might change that. And that's Eric Markowitz. He's senior writer with the International Business Times, and thanks for those pieces. And what about you, Omayela? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
I have to say that I'm pretty impressed with Democracy Now, especially Lady Nameen Sheikh, who continues to cover Sandra Bland's murder, suicide, as the case may be. I do not seriously follow U.S. media too much these days because it's too much, just too much chatter and, you know, a little substance. But to think, you know, in the midst of all of what's going on, they kept the, you know, the focus and continue to highlight, you know, by interviewing family members and keep the issue on the front burner at a time that I, you know, expect that this may not be around for too long, knowing how people just move on with their lives here. Mm-hmm. So I have to give kudos to Democracy Now for keeping this on. So that's something that impressed me, that he's just been doing a lot.
Yeah, they've been doing extensive coverage. And today, I haven't heard it yet, but they were joined by Sharon Cooper, who is Sandra Bland's sister. And Omayela, I'm just curious, from your perspective, because you're based in New York, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so what are your thoughts about all of the attention that this issue is now getting, whether it's Sandra Bland or other people who are killed by police? And what are your overall thoughts about the media coverage?
Well, you know, I came here in 1999, and I think my first experience in the U.S. was when the West African was killed, Amadou Diallo. And there was a huge movement around police brutality, and I'm surprised that these things are continuing to happen. But what I thought was responsible is that, you know, people are very, very quick to move on, including even the media. And I hope that this time around we will not have people just do a few protests here and there and just move on with their lives, because it's not enough to have Twitter hashtags, everybody tweeting, people have to put their foot on the ground, and if we can have people massively following up on this, we might be able to get somewhere with, you know, stopping police brutality in this country. It's a shame that this is continuing to happen. But, you know, we also have to thank technology for it. Internet and citizen reporting is helping to expose a lot of this police brutality in around the country, in a way that you just can't cover them up anymore.
Hmm. And so kudos to Democracy Now! For its coverage of Sandra Bland. And they also had the founders of Black Lives Matter on this morning, three women, as they're convening in Cleveland, Movement for Black Lives conference there. So thank you for that. That is Omayela Sahare. He's human rights and pro-democracy campaigner and the founder and publisher of SaharaReporters.com. It's a website of citizen journalism that exposes corruption and abuse in Nigeria's government. And we will put links to all of these stories mentioned at yourcallradio.org.